Agenda item number 11 is offenders.
Good afternoon.
Ms. Christ.
Six cases for you today. Start with Mr. David S. Luckett, Jr., who I am aware is present. Mr. Luckett was under revocation from 2015 licenses and permits. His licenses were revoked under 22-528 from May 30, 2014 through May 29, 2015 for harvesting oysters from an oyster sanctuary. As new convictions during that time period, commercial possession of uncalled oysters from the public rocks, violation of Chapter 280. Date of offense was October 8, 2014. Date of conviction, November 20, 2014. And the taking of commercial possession of uncalled oysters from public rocks, non-quartz shell and small oysters. Violation of 22-510 of the Code of Virginia. Date of offense is January 20, 2015. Date of conviction, February 12, 2015. Officer Mike Morris has this case.
Officer Morris, please come forward, sir. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Officer Mike Morris for the Virginia Marine Police.
What can you tell us about these charges and the events surrounding them?
The first of them, which occurred back on 10-8 of 2014, a Wednesday, occurred where that I was watching a place of sale in at Dockside in Isle of Wight County. And the Rachel L., owned and operated by Mr. Luckett, came to the dock and had oysters on board. I checked a bushel of those oysters and found a little bit in excess of 8 quarts of small oysters and shell in that catch.
What's the tolerance?
4 quarts.
Thank you, sir.
That's the minimum, maximum, I'm sorry. And then on the subsequent date of January 28th of 2015, I had an occasion to be watching to see who was working on the public rocks on the Isle of Wight side. And I saw the Rachel L. with two people on board. One was standing down at the board culling oysters. The other one was standing up on the tow strip, actually actively tonguing oysters. From a distance, the person tonguing oysters looked to be Mr. Luckett. On closer inspection, I boarded my boat with my partner. We went out to the boat and actually went aboard, and I found that it was Mr. Luckett who was down culling the oysters. He was not actively tonguing. The reason that I went out there to confirm what was going on was that Mr. Luckett had already lost his privilege to work and to use a commercial tong license, and he did not have that license in January at that time. I did find him. We culled a bushel of the oysters again on that date at the on the rock and found in excess of the 4 quarts. It was somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 or 9 quarts. Of oysters, small oysters and shell. The person on board the boat who looked like Mr. Luckett was Mr. Holloway, who has been before the board at the previous meeting. And I found him to be the one who was home. So I issued him a summons for taking and possession of unculled oysters. For Mr. Luckett, I just wrote a possession of unculled oysters because he was actively culling, but he was not participating without a license. The culling of oysters does not require a license. So I issued him the summons for possession of commercial possession of unculled oysters. And in both cases, he was found guilty in Isle of Wight Court.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Luckett, I'm going to swear you in, sir. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the true self you got?
Yes, sir.
Can you explain what happened here, sir?
Well, as far as what he was talking about, the culling and the possession of the oysters and stuff, he told me that day that he was going to write me a ticket for possession of a personal bushel. And he didn't cull me a bushel. He culled the same bushel, and then he just charged me for the same bushel that he charged the other guy for, which was a commercial bushel. It didn't have nothing to do with a personal bushel. And then when we went to the court, when we went on the other side, and the other ticket he was talking about, that my boat, I had two guys working for me. I sat in the cabin. I never worked that day. I had a toothache, and when I got to the dock, he didn't want to hear it. He just wrote me a ticket. And I was asking him, if I have my permit and stuff, well, I'm eligible now to get my permit back because he gave me a one-year suspension. But I have to deal with this first.
Did you go to court on these two matters?
Yes, sir. And the judge told me, he says, if you can tell me that you was up there for fun, yeah, I dismissed the case. I said, well, I wasn't out there for fun. I was out there to make money. I got to make some kind of living. And that's what he found me guilty.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Griss, what is the staff recommendation?
As the commission knows, we go by the guidelines of the law enforcement subcommittee. When you look at these just as the convictions themselves, this falls under the possession of greater than 100% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish. Those recommendations are based on 1 year probation. However, the commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction possession of greater than 100% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish within a 12-month period should result in at least 1 year probation. However, this violation occurred while licenses were revoked. In accordance with 22-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Luckett's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, June 23rd, 2015, through June 22nd, 2017. Staff also recommends the commission revoke Mr. Luckett's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, June 23rd, 2015, through June 22nd, 2017. That's staff recommendation.
Mr. Luckett, you have anything to add? Is there anything you want the commission to know?
This is it all on nothing. This is my livelihood. I've worked all my life in the river for 40-some years, and the stuff that they've come up with, like I say, I wasn't doing nothing the day that he wrote the other guy's ticket, but yet Mr. Morris wrote me a ticket. I wouldn't do nothing the day that he done the culling, but yet he wrote me a ticket. I can't stop him from writing tickets, you know what I mean? Regardless, this is my livelihood. Everybody else got probation and everything else. He's trying to say take it for 2 years. I've been out for 1 year. I've been working the whole time, parts and pieces everywhere I can. And everything still turns out to be the water because I don't have the education to go to a job.
I want the record to note that there's a number of prior violations by Mr. Luckett dating back to 2006. Mr. Cedron.
Mr. Luckett, you were the captain of the ship on both of those times that you received a ticket, right?
Yes, well, it was my boat, yes, sir. I wasn't running the rigs or nothing, no.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how you viewed your status. I mean, were you the captain of the boat?
Yeah, it was my boat, yes, sir. I was the captain, but I didn't participate in the work.
Okay, and did you, were those other guys working for you?
No, sir, they was working for themselves. They paid me for my boat.
Are you saying they paid you to charter the boat?
They used the boat, yes.
And how much did you get for that?
$100.
Now, as a captain, do you agree that you're responsible for everything that happens on that boat?
Yeah.
And so if you went out there and saw that they had more oysters than they supposed to had, could you have ordered them to throw back what's over the limit?
Yeah, if I was over the limit, but we never was over the limit. I stayed with the law of everything that I could do. I mean, I didn't try to do nothing wrong.
Did these other two guys have licenses?
Yes, sir.
What happened with the oysters that were there?
I planted them in the sanctioned area, and I done it on good faith because he didn't have no boat there at all. He says, if you don't mind, would you go to the sanctioned area and shovel them overboard? I said, sure, no problem. I went to the sanctioned area all by myself, shoveled them overboard and everything, drove back in the creek. They came in, they checked my boat and everything. Okay, everything's fine. Thank you, Mr. Luckett. And then as he was leaving, he come back, and he says, I'm going to write you a ticket for personal use. And I was like, for what? You know, but yet I got the ticket, and there ain't nothing I can do about it except for come up in front of y'all and discuss my case. And I don't know what to do about it.
Did you say the same thing to the judge in district court?
Yeah, but like he said, he told me that you was on there for fun. I says, well, no, I was trying to make a living. And then he says, well, then I'll find you guilty as the rest of them. I paid my fine. They fined me $190. I paid the fine and everything. I done everything I was supposed to do. You know what I mean? But they're talking about taking my license for 2 years. I'd never done nothing that was, I ain't stealing. I ain't stealing from nobody or nothing. It's just one or two shells that was too much on a bushel of oysters.
I have no other questions.
Ma'am, you want to testify, please come forward. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Please stand in front of the microphone here. State your name for the record.
My name is Rachel Lockett. I'm his wife, and I cannot believe some of the things that's happening. I mean, I have witnessed this. He's already been punished by losing his day's work. Then he went to court, lost another day's work, paid $199 for a fine. He can't afford a lawyer to fight it. And now you're going to punish him for a third time? I mean, this is just, y'all's rules are really, really strict. And I defended this country from terrorism in Afghanistan, and y'all are going to take his license for a chef on an oyster? He's trying to feed the public. He's not a criminal like that. I mean, I have been so stressed. I bought him a boat. I follow all the rules. I have a top secret security clearance. I don't want to lose it. I'm scared to death to get back on the boat. The whole time I worked on the boat with him when he did have his license, I was calling. And everybody said, oh, they don't write the call boy any tickets. It's okay. You'll be all right. I was scared to death. He trained me 3-inch oysters. When Mr. Morris boarded the boat, he said my oysters were pretty. I did everything by the book. He trained me right. And then, you know, the day that Mr. Holliday comes to you and he tells you, we were too close. I was on the boat the day he got that ticket for the sanctuary. We were not in it, but the courts found us guilty because we were too close. So then y'all come back and take his license for a whole year. And even Mr. Holliday came here. Y'all didn't invite us to that meeting. But Mr. Holliday and everybody that witnessed it told us that he did tell you he saw us near it. He never saw him harvest it. He was training me.
Nobody even seen me work.
He was working with the shaft tongs. He got down because I'm not good at, I'm not fast. So he gets down, he helps me call. And next thing I know, here comes Officer Holliday. We've been working there all week. Every single boat went from that red can buoy to the next buoy. And it was a line. We never were in it. If Mr. Holliday had drove around that buoy to the next buoy, he would have seen we weren't in it. But instead, he took the three boats and made us go back to the other two, and we were like, what's going on, David? And he made us shovel the oysters overboard. He had lost his license for a year, and we weren't wrong, but the courts found us wrong. And now we got to come and plead the whole case again to you. Now, I am trying my best to follow every single rule. I'm on the internet, I'm reading, and y'all are changing the laws, and I'm fine. I'm happy you're trying to protect the oyster ground. But some of the things y'all are doing is really cruel. And I mean, my husband is doing the best he can. And it's like every time he turns around, and Mr. Morris has got a personal vendetta against my husband. And I'm going to tell you that right now. And if you, let me give you an example that I've witnessed personally. The day that we get the Rachel L. off the railway, the very day we called Mike Morris, we said, Mr. Morris, we need an ICE permit. for the ground and all that stuff. He said he'd meet us at 11 o'clock that morning. We sat there, we waited. 3 o'clock he shows up. Y'all had a meeting that day. Didn't know nothing about it. He lost his license that day in that meeting. Mr. Morse was as sweet as can be. I said, David, something's wrong. He was joking, carrying on. He's never done that before. Sat there, wrote him all the license and the permits. We go over to the railway, our final bill.
I'm sorry,
David,
ma'am.
I want you to hear, please.
You were talking about a case that's been resolved for more than a year.
I'm trying to prove how Mr. Morse is trying to get my husband. He point blank told my husband, I was on the phone with him. And he said, I said, Mr. Morse, you just wrote us all our permits, and you're telling us that morning he lost his license. So David got mad, took the boat back to Mob Jack, where we live. And he said, no, Mr. Luckett, go ahead and have him work. It'll be weeks before we even serve the papers on you so that you go ahead and continue to work. It'll take a while for y'all to get the paperwork to serve. And David said, no, he's going to try to get us. They showed up at our house 2 days later and just took everything. He is trying to get him out of the river. He has got a personal vendetta against him, I swear to God. And if you check the records, the court system itself has put a 2-year, what is it called? He wasn't allowed to go near my husband for 2 years because of prior cases. And then David's father, a lot of those charges you got for David Luckett might have been his father. But they took 2 of his boats, and y'all had to pay for them, or the Coast Guard or whoever paid for them. And, I mean, he wanted David to go out there and work our new boat so he could get to seize it, because David would have been working knowing he didn't have a license. He didn't. We sat at home for a month.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, ma'am.
Go sit down.
Please do.
But that's what I've got to deal with.
All right. We have a staff recommendation, and the matter is before the commission for a decision. Mr. Neal.
He was ticketed and convicted under a revoked license. When his license was revoked, were his fishing privileges also revoked?
No, they were not.
Okay.
So to follow up on that question,
Mr. Ballard,
the culling of the oysters on board the boat wouldn't be a violation if they were all of size.
Correct.
Only if he was tonging at the time or actually taking oysters.
Correct. Or if there was over the tolerance would
right.
be a violation, which
yeah,
are these two cases that were resulted in a court conviction. Mr. Luckett, 1 second. This matter is before the commission for their discussion. You have something to add, Mr. Luckett?
I was just saying, no history, nobody, nowhere has a cold boy had a ticket in the middle of the year. Nobody. No cold boy has ever had a ticket in the middle of the year.
I think there has been some precedent on that.
Is that a true statement? Meaning, typically, I'm used to the whole boat being in here.
I believe cold boys have been in here along with boat captains. So it's up to the commission to decide the path forward here. Mr. Ballard.
This is a little bit difficult with all the nuances, but at the end of the day, I believe we have someone who had lost their license, should have been being extra careful, and then has not one but 2 convictions following the revocation of their license. I find it hard to believe any excuses of didn't know the rules, looking at the prior list of convictions, which some may have been a predecessor. But I believe a rational person interested in protecting the marine resources would be paying great attention to the rules to make sure that they didn't have double the limits of unculled oysters. And I would move to approve staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Ballard. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Mr. Neal. Is there some discussion on the motion and the second? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes. Mr. Luckett, your licenses and your fishing privileges are revoked for 2 years, effective today. You have a right to appeal, and if you proceed with one of the officers, I believe that Lieutenant Colonel here will give you your appeal rights and a letter. Pretty much the same at this point here. His losses of his license and his fishing privileges is correct. That's correct.
I'm judging on private ground.
Doesn't matter. Mr. Grist.
Next case, Mr. Willie F. Shiflett, Jr. I believe they are present. Yes. Shiflett has a serious convictions. Take or catch oysters from public rocks of the Commonwealth at any time other than that provided. They have this charge for both on an offense on December 15th and on December 17th and on December 19th. All these were convicted in court on March 16th of 2015. And also steal oysters valued at $200 or more and belonging to the Commonwealth of Virginia, violation of section 18.2-95 of the Code of Virginia. Date of offense, December 19, 2014, conviction, March 16, 2015. Officer Reichel has this case.
Officer, do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, shall help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Henry Richley, Virginia Marine Police.
Henry, Mr. Richley, what can you tell us about the events around these particular convictions?
On December 26, 2014, I received a complaint from a citizen on shore of a vessel that was harvesting oysters in a closed area. We got underway on a vessel located in Miss Marjorie 2. Inside Area 5, which was closed at the time. Mr. Shiflett was the captain of the vessel at the time. They had 8.5 bushels of oysters on board that day. I asked Mr. Shiflett if I could look at his GPS. When I did, I started cycling through track lines and noted that on December 3rd, December 15th, December 17th, December 19th, December 23rd, and then on that day, December 26th, he was also in that same area. There was just a blob of track lines in that area. Mr. Shiflett did admit to me on that day that that appeared to be outside the area, but he stated he thought he was in Area 6, which was open at the time. I seized the GPS on a search warrant the next day, and when I did that, Mr. Shiflett admitted to 3 days of being in the closed area. I then proceeded to obtain a search warrant for Kellum Seafood, where they had been selling their seafood, and confirmed that on December 3rd, 15th, 17th, 19th, 23rd, and 26th, they sold oysters anywhere from 8.5 bushels up to 16 bushels on different days. And I do have those numbers if you wish to look at them. Based on that, and also finding another individual's name on several of the tags, seafood tags, I conducted interviews. And Mr. Shiflett, when I interviewed him, only stated that he was out on the boat those days and that he was driving the boat those days. He ended up being charged with 5 counts of felony larceny of oysters, 1 count of felony having a dredge violation on board, 6 counts of harvesting in a closed area, 1 count of oysters on a call board outside of an open area. And during plea deals, that he was pleaded down to where he was convicted of 2 counts of petty larceny, 3 counts of harvesting in a closed area, and paid restitution, and I don't have that amount in front of me to the oyster replenishment fund.
2 counts of petty larceny, 3 counts
of harvesting in a closed area.
Then this was part of a plea agreement?
Yes, sir. The other charges were null and void.
Okay.
or reduced.
Any questions from the commission?
The
Ms. Haney.
Go ahead.
I need to recuse myself from this and the following two cases that are affiliated.
Okay. Mr. Zedrick.
Officer, I'm looking at the warrant of felony arrest, which was amended from 18295 to 18296, which is misdemeanor petty larceny. And I note in the back it says restitution of $1,133.87 within 6 months. This conviction was on January 24, 2015. Do you know if that restitution has been paid?
Yes, sir. I do not know.
Okay. That's all I have for the officer.
For the record, officer, what was the date the plea agreement was entered?
I don't have the date in front of me. I'm sorry. It was when we went to court, which should be the date that you just stated.
The
Mr. Zeta.
The record would reflect the disposition of these cases is on the second page. Typically, when you go to court, it's on the back of the page. And you can see down here, it's March 16, 2015. And it does indicate that he had counsel present representing him as well.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, officer. Mr. Shiflett, please come forward here and raise your right hand. I want to swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? What can you tell us, sir?
Well, he got it because I paid all the fines. Lead money and all that he's paid back.
Paid the fines and the restitution ordered by the court. What happened to cause you to go to court? Why did this happen?
Well, not ready. You need money. We worked all the places open, man. You can catch up 2 or 3 quarters of a day. But that one you interviewed, that one paid for expense.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Zedron.
You plead guilty to all these charges in court, right?
Yes, sir.
And you had a lawyer representing you, is that correct? Okay. And you were found guilty of those 5 charges, that's right? Okay. And your defense is that you just needed money, you didn't care what the law was?
Well, I thought it was in our executive first, but he said, I'll go to the line, sir. It's an invisible line. You can't see an invisible line. I can't know it.
What do you use your GPS for?
Just go back and forth.
And you don't ever look to see where you're at? Okay, thank you. No further questions.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Grist, what is the staff recommendation in this instance?
Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters during a closed public season within a 12-month period should result in at least 1 year revocation, and one conviction of illegally harvesting oysters from public or private grounds within a 12-month period should also result in at least 1 year revocation. In accordance with 22232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Shiflett's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, June 23, 2015, through June 22, 2017. Staff also recommends the commission revoke Mr. Shiflett's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, June 23, 2015, through June 22, 2017.
I'll note for discussion purposes that this is not the first time this Mr. Shiflett's been convicted of these offenses. We had a similar incident, harvesting oysters from a closed area in 2012, harvesting oysters from a closed area in 2011, unculled oysters in 2008, goes back to 1998. So the matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Zedron.
I think this is a very serious offense because it not only it violates the statute, but it affects the public grounds. And I think if we do not enforce our obligations, we're going to send a message out there, well, because everybody needs the money. The last guy was just here. He had a boat, and he needed money to work, and most, a lot of the people, everybody here needs to work. That's why you guys are out there. And so if the deal is that the rules don't mean anything because you need money, we need to correct that situation. And I would note here, as I understood from the officer, he was charged with five felonies. 18295 carries up to 20 years in the penitentiary, okay? And I didn't see it. He's got some suspended time here, but I didn't even see one day in jail. So he really got a break. He had a good attorney representing you. And he had to pay a fine, court costs, stuff like that. And you ended up with a couple of misdemeanors, a few misdemeanors, and I think he already got his break. So I'll be making a motion to approve staff recommendation.
That's a staff recommendation for revocation of Mr. Shiflett's licenses for 2 years and revocation of his tidal fishing privileges for 2 years effective today. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Sessoms. Is there any further discussion on this? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Mr. Shiflett, your licenses are suspended for 2 years. So are your tidal fishing privileges for 2 years, effective today.
But, Barrett, I got you on 35 possible. Would Barrett pick you up? Why do I leave you immobile?
I think that's a discussion you need to have with law enforcement here. If you'll proceed with Chief Lauderman, he will take you and give you a letter that designates your appeal rights, and you all can work out how you can get those pots out of the water the best way. Mr. Chris.
Next case is Ava Marie Shiflett. Shiflett is present. Ms. Shiflett, new convictions, hand scrape license required in a hand scrape area 1, violation chapter 720, date of offense October 10, 2014, convicted on November 12, 2014. Larceny of oysters. On December 15th and on December 17th of 2014, convictions on March 16th, 2015. Take or catch oysters at time other than permitted. December 19th, December 23rd, December 26th of 2014, conviction date March 16th, 2015, Officer Wilkins.
Officer, do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got? Please state your name for the record, please, Tommy.
Thomas Wilkins, Marine Police Officer, Northern Arizona.
Can you tell us about these cases?
I am only familiar with one of the cases, and that's going to be the hand scrape license required in the area. Another officer brought the other charges. On Friday, October 10th, 2014, approximately 11:20, I was on patrol in the Rappahannock River. I observed a workboat leaving the rotation area number 1 on the river. Identified the vessel as Miss Marjorie 2. There were 3 persons on board that day. Miss Shiflett here was one of those persons. Approached the vessel, identified myself, was displaying my badge of authority, boarded the vessel. There were 24 total bushels of oysters on board. Started doing an inspection as for all the license and everything. Miss Shiflett here did not have the required license for a hand scrape license, which is rotation area 1 is a hand scrape area. At first, Ms. Shiflett said that she had purchased a license, so I did a check through our operations area. They could not find one. She was still very optimistic that she had purchased the license, so I then checked again through our licensing agent, and she could not find any record as well. It was at that time Ms. Shiflett here stated that she did not have the license. There was another individual on the boat who stated that they had been told earlier in the season that everybody was going to need to have the hand scrape license that was required. Ms. Shiflett was very cooperative. They issued her a summons. 8 bushels of the oysters were put back over on the sanctuary, and Ms. Shiflett prepaid the summons.
Any questions from Officer Wilkins on this one?
Was
Mr. Cedar.
Was she likewise charged with felony, and that was reduced to misdemeanor?
Sir, I was not involved with that aspect of it. I was only involved with this one incident here.
Okay. Officer Richley will address the other charges.
All right.
So any questions about the lack of a hand scrape license? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Officer Richley, you're still under oath here.
Yes, sir. On December 26, 2014, we received a complaint from a citizen of a vessel harvesting in a closed area on the Rappahannock River area. Five went out there, identified Ms. Shiflett as being on the vessel that day, and did look at the GPS with permission of the captain, Mr. Shiflett, and noted that on several days they were in a closed area. That would be December 3rd, 15th, 17th, 19th, 23rd, and 26th. The next day, I went back on a search warrant and seized GPSs. Ms. Shiflett said at that point that on three of the days that they knew they were wrong and they were doing wrong. I went back, served a search warrant at Kellum Seafood to confirm that they had sold oysters on the 3rd, 15th, 17th, 19th, 23rd, and 26th. And went back and interviewed her at a residence at a later date, and she did admit at that point to knowingly being in a closed area when they were harvesting oysters on those days. On the 3rd, they were actually appeared from the GPS in an open area and then came down into a closed area, and that's why they weren't charged with larceny. She was charged with five counts of larceny of oysters, one count of felony dredge violation, six counts of harvesting in closed area, one count of oysters on a call board, which through a plea deal, several charges were null pros, and she was convicted of two counts of larceny and three counts of harvesting in closed area.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Ms. Shiflett. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the true self you got? Please state your name for the record and speak into the microphone.
My name is Eva Marie Shiflett.
Ms. Shiflett, what do you think the commission needs to know? What would you like to tell them?
It's you guys. I mean, I can get another job tomorrow. Without his license, I can't really work anyway.
Mr. Zebra.
Ms. Shiflett, how long have you been doing this?
How long I've been working on the
water? 8 years. And I understand from the officer that you knew at least some of the days that you were in the closed area, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And how do you think that kind of conduct affects your other watermen that are on the market, in the industry?
You get different opinions from different watermen, other people do it too. So other watermen.
What's your opinion?
My opinion?
About your conduct affecting the industry and the other watermen.
At this time, I wish you guys would open the whole river for everybody. I don't see where you can open one area, and then the whole river should be open. My opinion.
Do you know why it's closed? Do you know why it's closed?
Why is it closed?
Yeah, do you know why it's closed?
I don't know why they're closed like that.
Do you believe that the oysters need to grow? And so that you guys can continue to have a harvest?
Well, if you cultivate the whole river, it will grow. And you get 100 boats in one little area, you're going to kill it anyway.
Did you pay the restitution?
I paid, yes.
You had a lawyer?
Yes, I did.
And you pled guilty to the charges you were convicted of, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Anything else you wish the commission to consider? Matters before the committee. Mr. Chris, would you give the staff recommendation, please?
Staff recommendation, the commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters during a closed public season within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year revocation, and one conviction of illegally harvesting oysters from public or private grounds within a 12-month period should also result in at least a one-year revocation. In accordance with 282.232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mrs. Shiflett's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, June 23rd, 2015 through June 22nd, 2017. Staff also recommends commission revoke Ms. Shiflett's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, June 23rd, 2015, through June 22nd, 2017.
Ms. Shiflett. Please step in front of the microphone.
Will I be able to call for somebody on the boat?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. The motion is, or excuse me, the staff recommendation is to revoke your tidal fishing privileges as well as your commercial fishing license. Tidal fishing privileges would be anything involving commercial or recreational fishing in tidal waters.
All right.
That's the motion. That will be the motion, I suspect. Didn't mean to put my finger on the thumb here. Matters before the commission. My finger on the scale. Mr. Zedron.
I think we hit on something real important here is that some of the people in the industry just don't care whether what the regulations are, and they see us as the bad guy. And even though we're trying to protect the harvest so that everybody can have a life, and that at least me as a waterman, what I do, I think it's really hurting the guy that pays attention to the rules. And like she said there, that everybody's doing it. And the problem is that when the other guy that says, well, I'm not going to do it because that's illegal, and then he sees them bring in 24 bushels of oysters to go to the market, I don't think that's a good for what we are up here for. So in the appropriate time, I would move that we accept staff recommendation.
That would be the appropriate time for a motion, I think.
So moved.
Motion to accept staff recommendation by Mr. Zedron.
Second.
Second by Mr. Ballard. Is there any discussion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. Your licenses are revoked for 2 years. Your fishing privileges and tidal waters are revoked for 2 years as well. If you please proceed with Chief Lauderman here, he'll give you a letter spelling out your appeal rights, ma'am.
Next case is Roger Lee Belvin. He is present. Officer Richley will be involved in this. New convictions: take or catch oysters from public rocks or shoals at any time other than that provided. Two of these, December 3rd, 2014, December 15th, 2014. Both conviction dates are March 16, 2015. Take or catch oysters from the public rocks of the Commonwealth at any time other than that provided. Offenses on December 17, 2014, and conviction date March 16, 2015. And again, it's Officer Richley.
Officer Richley, sir. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
What can you tell us about this case?
December 26.
These cases.
I received a complaint of a vessel harvesting in the closed area in the Rappahannock River, Area 5. Went out, stopped the vessel. It was Mr. and Ms. Shiflett were only two on board the vessel. Once I executed a search warrant at Kelvin Seafood on the shellfish harvest tag, found out that Mr. Belvin's name was on there for December 3rd, December 15th, and December 17th. I did conduct an interview with him. He told me that on December 3rd, they were in an open area. They proceeded downstream. He believed that they had gone into a closed area. He stated that he voiced his opinion to Mr. Shiflett about it, who told him that they were still in an open area. And then he did go out on them with the 15th and 17th and harvest in the same area, which had been determined that to be a closed area. He conducted a plea deal at court and pled it down to three charges of harvesting in a closed area. And is paying restitution also.
And what was the date of the plea agreement?
The plea agreement was on the 16th of March. To say all went to trial on the same day.
Any questions of Officer Richley? Mr. Belvin, please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes,
please state your name for the record.
Roger Lee Belvin.
Mr. Belvin, what do you want the commission to know about all this?
Well, I try to state to
Well, it's just letting enabling them that, as we went to Area 8, because I started working with them a little bit at the end of November, and because my boat was bowed down and all, we went down to Area 8 the first part of December. That was December 3rd. That was the first day we went. Wasn't much to catch and everything, so they started working their way back in the creek. But we got up to, on the right-hand side there, was like a little cave, red buoy. And they said, there's a judge on board. I said, well, this area's closing. They said, no, this is still open. Just do what I tell you, throw it overboard. I said, well, I think it's closed. So I tried to tell them, and as far as I knew, did everything. And I said, well, all right then. Well, we went on to work. And the 15th and the 17th, that I could remember that we were broke down at Kellum's Oyster Dock, and my wife had an appointment for my little baby, unborn baby, because I got a five-month-old baby, and I was supposed to be at the hospital in them days while they were fixing the boat. But come find out, they went to work and still put my name on the oyster tickets them days while I wasn't on the boat. So when we went to court and everything, I just took a plea bargain and went along with it. I had a lawyer, you know, granted a lawyer or whatever. So right now I'm still paying my fines. And I got four little children and everything. And that's all I got to say about it.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Zedrum.
Why did they have your name tags?
Because every day they were filling me out, you know, with them, because it was the limit on 8 bushel per man. Mm-hmm. So they had my car number and everything. That was my fault. So the days that I didn't even go with them, they were still signing me in to get that extra 8 bushel and getting by with it. But they can get more money in their pocket.
Did they give you any of that money?
No. No, sir.
I see over here in court you were ordered to pay $446.49 restitution. Have you paid that?
I don't know exactly when I'm paid all, to be sure, because I still owe $300 and something at Isle of Wight, and now I'm still owing $400-some at
what's the last place? Middlesex?
Yeah. And Middlesex.
Do you have any previous convictions of any, Virginia Marine Resource regulations or laws? How long have you been doing this?
30 years.
Mr. Zedrum, in your docket here, there's a history of prior convictions here for Mr. Belvin, 2013 larceny of oysters, 2013 on a different date possession of uncalled oysters. Does this ring a bell? 2009, 20 quarts of oysters undersized. Does that ring a bell? Those were all convictions?
Okay. I have no question. Why did you tell me that you didn't have any?
Oh, I mean, I thought you were talking about right now or anything. No, I ain't had none. You know, I didn't know what you were saying.
Do you agree with what Mr. Bull has said about the prior convictions?
Yeah, way back, yeah.
Okay, that's what I was asking about.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Belvin? Anything else you want the commission to know in deciding whether to revoke your license or for how long to revoke it?
The only thing I could ask, I really could use my license and stuff. I got four little youngins, and that's all I've ever done in all my life. Got no education. But what happens from here, I just got to go with it. So if I can ask that, that's all I can do.
Ms. Grist. What is the staff recommendation in this case?
Chain of Mr. Roger Lee Belvin, staff's recommendation. Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify one conviction of harvesting oysters during a closed public season within a 12-month period should result in at least 1 year revocation. So in accordance with 22.232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Belvin's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, June 23rd, 2015, through June 22nd, 2016. Staff also recommends the commission revoke Mr. Belvin's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, June 23rd, 2015 through June 22nd, 2016.
Matters before the commission.
Make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
It's a motion by Mr. O'Neill to accept staff recommendation of a revocation period of 1 year for all commercial fishing licenses and 1 year of revocation for your tidal fishing privileges as well. Just wanted you to understand that's the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Zeder. Any discussions on this? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Mr. Belvin, motion passes. Your licenses are suspended for a year. Your tidal fishing privileges are suspended for a year as well. If you proceed with Chief Lauderman, he will give you a letter explaining your appeal rights.
Next case is Charles F. Davenport. Davenport is present. Serious convictions, failed to register as a commercial waterman, violation of 22241 of the Code of Virginia, date of offense January 31st of this year, convicted on April 27th of this year. Harvest oysters from condemned area, violation of 22810 of the Code of Virginia, offense of January 31st of this year, conviction April 27th of this year. Harvest oysters during closed season, violation of 22201 of the Code of Virginia, violation on 31st January of 2015, conviction April 27th, 2015. Failed to display harvest tag on oysters, violation of 22201 of the Code of Virginia, same offense and conviction dates. Commercially take oysters on Saturday, violation of Chapter 720, subsection 60A. Date of offense January 31, 2015. Conviction April 27, 2015. Officer Price has this case.
Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Brandon Price, Virginia Marine Police Officer.
Officer Price, what can you tell us about all this?
Yes, sir, on January 31st, 2015, approximately 2:19 in the afternoon, I was driving down Pocosin Avenue when I observed two individuals culling oysters in the yard of 1345 Pocosin Avenue. It appeared to be a large amount of oysters that they were culling. So for approximately the next 45 minutes, I kind of kept an eye on them, just kept driving back and forth, trying to see what they were up to. After about 45 minutes, I noticed the individuals had the oysters in green tubs and that they were loading the oysters back into the truck. At that time, I went down to Bill Forrest Seafood, located at 287 Messick Road, and established surveillance on that location just to see if maybe that's where they were taking them, being that that was the closest location. This was a Saturday afternoon, and it just had my suspicion was up a little bit based on the activity that I was seeing. While sitting at Messick Point, I observed Mr. Davenport and his co-defendant, Craig Pickens, or later identified as Craig Pickens, in a Dodge pickup truck back up to Bill Forrest Seafood, and with the members or the employees there at Bill Forrest, unload the oysters, dump the oysters from the containers into bushel baskets, and lay them down on the dock there at Bill Forrest Seafood. At that point, I pulled into the parking lot, got out of my truck, asked how everybody was doing. I asked the employees if Bill was around, Little Bill, what we refer to Bill Forrest as, but I asked if Little Bill was around. They said no, he was on the way back to pay these individuals for the oysters. At that point, I told everybody to have a good day, got back into my truck, and I went back up the street to Pocosin Avenue, and I wanted to let this transaction go through, and I wanted to wait until they left the area, and I was going to stop them. On my way out, I passed Bill Forrest, headed down to his shop. Probably 3 or 4 minutes went by, at which time I observed the same Dodge pickup with Mr. Pickens and Mr. Davenport leaving the area. They pulled into the parking lot of Sheffield Market. I pulled up behind them, asked how they were doing, asked if I could speak with them for a few minutes, and immediately Mr. Pickens, who was the co-defendant, said, look, we don't have a commercial license. I said, well, I figured that. I said, but I need to talk to you about what happened. Also, while at Bill Ford Seafood, I observed that there were 5 bushels of oysters sitting on the dock, as well as no harvest tag displayed on those oysters in those baskets. During the interview of Mr. Davenport and Mr. Pickens, it was determined that they had harvested these oysters by hand in Lamb's Creek, which is a condemned area, that neither one of them had a commercial waterman's license, that area is closed, Lamb's Creek is closed, and that they failed to display a harvest tag, and that they harvested oysters for commercial purposes on a Saturday. They were each charged with those violations. For the record, we went back to Bill Forrest, took those 5 bushels of condemned oysters, and we placed them back into condemned waters in Pocosin after all this had settled down. On April 27, 2015, we went to court in York County. The defendant, Mr. Davenport, pled not guilty. We tried the case, and after hearing the evidence, Judge Hudgens found that there was sufficient evidence to convict Mr. Davenport for failure to register as a commercial waterman. They fined him $35 plus cost for harvesting the oysters from a condemned area. They fined him $100 plus cost. Harvesting oysters during a closed season, $50 in cost. Harvesting oysters on a Saturday for commercial purposes, $35 in cost. And failed to display a harvest tag, $35 in cost. Mr. Davenport was cooperative with me throughout this entire process.
The convictions were for 5 different counts?
Yes, sir. He was convicted on all 5 counts.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Davenport, please step in front of the microphone. Raise your right hand. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
Please state your name for the record.
Charles Franklin Davenport.
Mr. Davenport, what would you like the commission to know here?
Well, a buddy of mine gave me a call that day, that Saturday, and asked me would I give him a ride. They had some oysters. So I went and picked them up, put them on my truck, and we went down there and we cleaned them, and we took them and sold them. And I said, man, I can't get no trouble with this because I'm not aware of this stuff here. You know, I don't do this. I try to stay out of trouble. And I ended up getting trapped up in some stuff that I didn't know what was going on. He said it was all right as long as we're picking them up for ourselves and we're going to have a party and this, that, and other, which he ended up selling them. And I was told he got $200, and I only got $50 of it, you know, for the helping them out, cleaning them, and all that stuff. I learned a valuable lesson from this. You know, some of your friends ain't really your friends. I haven't corresponded with this Craig Pickens since that day. I have no intentions of associating with him any further, you know. I called him up, and it was a few very ugly words said between me and him. But I haven't spoke to him since. You know, because I don't appreciate you getting me in trouble, man. You know, was I naive to the law? Yes, I was. You know, it just happened. I apologize for my actions in this, and I guess that's all I got to say.
There are questions from the commission. Mr. Zedra.
Do you have a commercial license?
No, sir.
Okay. Did you know... you went to the river or something to pick these up? Where'd you pick them up at?
I don't even know.
Okay. So you don't even know where the oysters came from?
I don't know where they come from. I'm not from Pocosin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm from Hampton.
All right. No further questions.
Mr. Davenport, I don't have a question, but I'm going to make a comment here because this is important to me. These oysters were taken from a condemned water body. Do you know what that means? That means that it's high in fecal coliform, and it is off-limits for shellfish harvesting by the Department of Health. And the reason for that is because those oysters taken from those grounds can get people very sick, and they could even die. And it would impact the entire shellfish industry because it could require the FDA to step in, the federal government, and impose very expensive post-harvest treatments. So what you did had the great potential of making people very sick, or it could have killed somebody. I just wanted you to know that.
They didn't kill me because I ate something on that day.
Well.
But thanks, I'll still do.
Do we have anybody here from the health department?
Not today. Mr. Pollard.
I'm curious, in our packet here, it's stating that Mr. Davenport stated that he and Pickens went behind Pickens' family house in the creek and picked up all the oysters, which seems to be different than the testimony we're hearing right now, that you were not actively engaged in the harvesting of the oysters.
This is a statement that Craig Pickens made to this officer Price. He just explained the whole situation to him, and I was standing by and listening to it, and I didn't change anything from it. Where he said he got him from, I don't know. I don't know. He said Lamb Creek. I don't even know where Lamb's Creek is. Wherever it's called.
So when did you first see the oysters?
Where did I see the oysters? When we went and picked them up.
At his house, presumably?
Or Lamb Creek, where?
Okay. And you got out of your truck and went into the water and harvested the oysters?
Well, they were right there on the edge of the shoreline, yes.
Okay.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Grist. What is the staff recommendation in this case?
Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify 1 year. One conviction of harvesting oysters during a closed public season within a 12-month period should result in at least a 1 year revocation. And one conviction of harvesting oysters from a condemned area within a 12-month period should also result in at least a 1 year revocation. So in accordance with 22.232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends commission revoke all Mr. Davenport's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, June 23, 2015 through June 22, 2017. Staff also recommends commission revoke Mr. Davenport's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, June 23rd, 2015 through June 22nd, 2017.
Staff recommendation. Matters before the commission. Mr. Zeter.
I echo the comments of the commissioner here. I like oysters and thank God you are still standing there. But it's very serious when oysters come from a condemned area. It's a hazard to the public. It's a hazard to the industry. It's a hazard to anybody like you that ate them. And for that reason, I think it's a very serious offense, especially if you got sick, you know what I'm talking about. And so at the appropriate time, I would move to accept staff recommendation.
Is there any other discussion from the commission? Mr. Bailey.
I agree with the severity of the offense. I do wonder, given the defendant's sort of non-participation in the commercial industry, if maybe revoking all the fishing privileges might be a bit severe, in that we just revoke the ability to take oysters and participate in that part of the fishery, but to revoke all Commonwealth fishing privileges. Seems to me to be a bit severe, given sort of not understanding what he was doing and not participating in the commercial aspect, if that is truly the case.
Mr. Zeter.
If he's not a commercial fisherman, really we're not doing anything by taking his commercial licenses. I mean, these other guys that were up here, they well, let me look back. Let me see what kind of license he does have.
Hold on 1 second, Mr. Davenport.
The way I see this thing, he is a resident individual saltwater sports fishing license, so that's not a commercial license, I don't think.
And, right, but sorry, go ahead.
And so what I'm saying is the fact that we revoke a commercial license, something he doesn't use, is really not of any punishment. So the only punishment I see here, if we revoke all his privileges, would be his, personal privileges to fish. And I think that would be appropriate, do something.
Just to clarify here, the staff recommendation to revoke all his licenses for 2 years includes his recreational fishing license. There isn't commercial license to revoke. But it's entirely within the commission's authority under the Code of Virginia to revoke a recreational fishing license. The commission has done that in the past. Any other discussion?
I move that we accept staff recommendation.
It's a staff recommendation here to revoke Mr. Davenport's all his tidal fishing licenses, both recreation and or commercial, and your tidal fishing privileges, Mr. Davenport, for 2 years effective today.
Tidal means inshore.
Saltwater.
Saltwater, period.
Yep.
Even offshore.
Yes.
Commercial fishing like scalping and stuff like that.
His question, and there's the thing. You are a commercial waterman, correct?
Yes.
He's a commercial waterman in federal waters, and so we're taking away his. So he is a commercial waterman. So that's part of what's been lost. But we're talking about Virginia waters.
Correct? This would apply to Virginia waters only.
Yeah. And anyway, I'll second the motion. Seconding his motion.
Okay. So motion by Mr. Zedrin and a second by Mr. Neal. For clarification here.
Clarification, he still can go scalping offshore 3 miles.
That's correct.
Nice.
That's correct. You can't drop a line, recreational or commercial, within Virginia's tidal waters. That's the motion and the second. Any further discussion and or clarification necessary? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. The motion passes. Ms. Grist.
For the record, I need to see, I already know the answer, but just for the record, I need to see if Mr. Stephen Perillo is present.
Is Mr. Stephen Perillo present? Officer, would you yell into the hallway to find out if Mr. Stephen Perillo is out there? Mr. Perriello is not present.
The reason I did that, Commissioner, is we were told that some others weren't going to be here as well today, and then they did appear, so we're just covering bases. We did get a notification from Mr. Perriello that he was going to be scalloping out of New Bedford on the Miss Susie Q, and he was not going to be here. We got notification of this yesterday. I will note that at the very back of the packet involving this individual, you will see that the personal service letter was signed. It was issued by MPO Copperthite. It was signed by Mr. Perillo, and it does note that he is to appear today. Upon what he has let us know, that he's going to be scalloping for the next 12 days on the CGQ, he'll come back and he'll go out again. So he is not present. Would the commission like to proceed?
It's at the commission's discretion whether or not to proceed in his absence or to suspend all his licenses until he appears.
That's my
motion. Yeah. It's a motion by Mr. Deal to suspend all of Mr. Stephen Perriello's licenses until he appears as summoned. So second by Mr. Close. Is there any discussion on this motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. We will get Mr. Perriello in front of us at a time of his convenience, apparently.
That's it. That ends the revocation cases for today.
Thank you, Mr. Grist.